Today's scripture reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of hearts. They have become careless and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on your new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This is the word of God.
Church, today we have a new speaker, but a not so new pastor. Today we have Pastor Yiling, who will bring us God's word. She has been with us for the past 6 months serving the youth and the school ministry. I think she likes us, so she will stay, right? So we continue to put on our best behavior, yeah? Now, some interesting facts about Pastor Yiling. Her hometown is in JB, Johor Bahru, but don't ask her to do shopping for you. She has been worshiping in a Chinese congregation. She did her Master's of Divinity in Chinese. She graduated with her cohort as the cohort valedictorian, so good student, in the Chinese department. So actually, she's quite brave to join an English congregation. Before studying at Trinity Theological College, she was a special needs teacher serving with Fei Yue. Okay, and today, the Lord has led her to be a pastor of the church. So let us welcome her.
Thank you, Pastor Srima. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's indeed a great joy to be able to come together and serve the church and also to worship with you. Shall we commit this time to the Lord? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we invite the Holy Spirit's presence to dwell among us. Help us to listen closely to your voice, and may the Holy Spirit speak to us, convict us, and renew us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. A married couple has been together for 4 years. The wife is an independent woman. She likes to get things done quickly. Always think about what's the next things to clear. Her husband is a slow-paced person. He likes to live in an unhurried manner, always enjoying the present moment. One usual evening, the wife was waiting for her husband to go for dinner at the bus stop. While waiting, she scrolled through her emails on her phone and making the best use of her time to clear the unread emails. Half an hour later, she looked out from her phone and turned around to see if her husband was nearby. No sight of her husband. She was hungry and impatient. When she was about to make a call to check his whereabouts, all of a sudden, a familiar voice came in from afar. Her husband was walking toward her with a big smile. "Look, I've bought some cheap and fresh apples from the market." He hoped his wife would appreciate his effort even though he was late. On the contrary, his wife, annoyed, rolled her eyes and then burst out, "Why are you always late? Why are you always like this?" Does this sound familiar to us? There's a famous Chinese saying goes, "Jiangshan yi gai, ben xing nan yi." In English, a leopard never changes its spots. It's easier to keep our character intact, but to change, it is harder. Today's passage, Paul tells us change is needed. It's like putting off the old self for a new self. But why and how? The passage begins with a strong emphasis. In verse 17, "Now, this I say serves the same purpose as therefore" in chapter 4, verse 1. Both are clues to show us what Paul is saying here based on the reasons that he has mentioned in the earlier chapters. The reasons are, we have received the spiritual blessing in Christ. We have been redeemed through the blood of Christ. And we've been sealed with the promise of Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must no longer walk as Gentiles do. Paul was speaking to a group of converted believers. After Paul tells them, no longer walk as Gentiles do, he gives a full description of their former lifestyle, which are their old life. So what does their old life look like? I will attempt to categorize the description into three groups. These are the mind, the heart, and the behavior. Let us start with the mind. Mind refers to understanding and thinking abilities. In verse 17, the Gentile walks in the futility of their minds. In verse 18, their understanding is darkened. It means they are empty-headed and unable to comprehend God's truth because of their understanding is darkened. The state of mind in an old life is unable to understand God's truth. Then, what causes their mind to be darkened? It goes down to the heart. In verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the light of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. The heart is the center of a person, the seat of thought and will. Here says that there's ignorance and hardness in their heart. It means their heart deliberately refused to respond to God. When the mind is darkened and their heart refuses to respond to God, it will translate into their actions. In verse 19, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. All these actions show they are living a lifestyle without moral boundaries. The mind is darkened, the heart is hardened, and actions are corrupted. Isn't this old life terrible? As I meditate on why Paul gives such harsh comments on old life, I notice it's not that Paul has a sense of supremacy of being a Christian or even as an apostle, thinking he himself has a higher moral standard and thus having the authority to condemn those who are not living up to his standard. On the contrary, Paul knows how fallen a human life can be. because he himself is the worst of all the sinners. And that's what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Paul knows that by our human nature, just as he says in verse 19, we are prone to satisfy our own sensuality, desiring to practice impurity, and highly motivated by our own greed. There was once when a lecturer from TDC asked us, "Do you guys know who cares for me the most?" Before we could say anything, he continued saying, "The person who cares for me the most is not my church member. It's the scammer. The scammer calls me every Monday, calling in weekly to get money from people. This is what a person will do when he is highly motivated by greed. Now, we know because of what Christ has done for us, therefore, we must no longer work as Gentiles do. With the picture of the old life that Paul presented to us, what does it mean to us today? We all have our old life, our former lifestyle. But are we still living our old life? Are we still feeding ourselves with the satisfaction that our old lives give us? Here, Paul tells us to have a clean cut from our old life. Just 2 days ago, a brother shared with me his struggles to quit smoking in the past. In the past, he had tried to quit smoking many times for at least 10 years, and this time, he finally quit. The point I'm bringing across to you is that before he succeeded, he failed many times. Likewise, we may have tried to break our own habits, the habits we know is not glorifying God, but we keep failing. But it shouldn't be the reason for us to continue with our old life. In fact, the better translation for Paul's exhortation is, we must no longer keep on working as Gentiles do. We may fail, but with the help of God, we must no longer keep on living the old life. Moving on to the second point, to live a new life. After Paul talks about the old life, there's a shift in his argument in verse 20 to 21. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. There's a very interesting part here. Paul is not referring to the preaching or teaching about Christ, which assuming the Ephesians have heard about. Instead, Paul points out that the learning subject for the believers is Christ himself. Jesus himself is the truth. So what does it mean to live a new life? To live a new life means to model after Christ. We are like learners and apprentices, and Christ is the subject we learn. He is the model of our life. We study him, so we know how to model his mind, his heart, and how he lives his life. Then, from verses 22 to 24, Paul used a change of clothing metaphor to help us understand this. To put off your old self, to be renewed in the spirits of your minds, to put on your new self. Since young, my mom has always said, "You must put on new clothing on Chinese New Year." Just like many others, my mom thinks new clothing symbolizes the new season of life and a new beginning. Similarly, given our new identity in Christ, a child who has been adopted by and predestined to salvation by God, we shall begin a new life, a life that is no longer corrupted through deceitful desires, but a life that is righteous and holy to reflect the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. What you wear represents who you are. Look at our boys and girls from the brigade. Once they are in their uniform, they know what to do. They need to fall in, they need to stand still, they need to listen to the captain. And it's very clear who they are and what they stand for. As for us, What clothes are we putting on now? Is it the image of Christ? And the best way to know if we are living a new life is to ask the people around us, our friends, our colleagues, and even our family. Can they see Christ in you? Especially those who are very close to us, having known you for many years. Do they still see Christ in you? The truth is, if we have not put on our new clothes, we are no different from the Gentiles. Verse 23, to be renewed in the spirit of mind suggests the process of changing clothes does not just happen at a single certain point in our life. What does it mean to be renewed in the spirit of our mind? Be renewed indicates an ongoing activity in the Greek tense. It refers to an ongoing growth in our attitude and understanding of the Word of God. In other words, renewal is a repeated process of mind changing throughout our life and with the help of the Holy Spirit. The moment we want to put on our old, dirty, smelly clothes, the Holy Spirit will remind us not to. And the Holy Spirit will continually renew us to live a life following Christ, and we may not even desire to return back to our old life. This brings me to my third point, how to live a new life. Having said about what old life and new life look like, moving on from verses 25 to 32, Paul gives us a series of practical instructions on how to live like a new person. There's a difference in Paul's expression here as compared to the previous verses. Paul used an imperative tone, which is a command to bring out these instructions. These instructions are more than just hard and fast rules on becoming a better Christian. Instead, it concerns our relationship with our fellow brothers and sisters. I would like to focus on three areas. First, anger management. What's Paul's advice on anger? In verse 27, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Obviously, there's nothing wrong about angry with someone. But the danger comes only when we are overly angry with the person and prolong the situation. Excessive anger gives way to the devil. It's important to take note of what we do when we are very angry. It's hard to maintain control of our actions and even to watch the words coming out of our mouths when we are so heated up. Unlike God, God's wrath is always under his control. Justice will be meted out in righteousness. But it's not the same for men. James chapter 1 verse 20 says, human beings' anger does not work out the righteousness of God. Many times, you may think our anger speaks of righteousness, and we think we are on the right side, and therefore, we could vent anger on the person. However, this is not true. Excessive anger gives opportunities to the devil. The devil is good at twisting and distorting the truth in our understanding. And he likes to see the divisiveness in the body, which is caused by festering anger. Not only do we have to be careful when we are overly angry, but also we cannot prolong our anger. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Anger might cause hurt to the other party. Likewise, sometimes we are angry because we are deeply hurt. In such situation, it can be very hard to restore, or it can be too hurtful to reconcile. However, do not let the sun go down suggests to us there's a need to work toward restoration. Otherwise, the longer it prolongs, it might allow the devil to turn our anger into bitterness. Second, sharing with the needy. In Paul's context, it's very likely that there are many believers who were slaves or the working poor. Therefore, Paul says in verse 28, "For those who used to steal must no longer steal, instead doing honest work with their own hands, so that they may have something to share with anyone in need." The benefit of working is not just for meeting material needs. It benefits the person because he has something useful to do. For the slaves that Paul was speaking to, not only did he ask them to get a new job and be hardworking at it, they used to live in a way they only went after their own needs. But now, with a new identity and new life that has been given to them, they should model after Christ, use what they have honestly earned, and to share. Clearly, sharing with the needy is not just an optional choice. It's not because we have extra, so then we share. Sharing with the needy is our new lifestyle. Other than sharing with those who are near us, can we also share what we have with those who are not around us? I'm sure we all know about the earthquake that has happened in Turkey, Syria now. Infants and children are badly injured, and people are suffering. Even though they are far away from us, but they are the people who are in real and urgent need. What can we do for them? Lastly, in verses 29 to 30, Paul talks about our speech. What does it mean by corrupting talk? In verse 29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, and it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Corrupting talk means speech that is worthless, of no good quality, and dirty. What we say reflects the state of our mind and heart. If our minds and heart are corrupted, very likely what we say might not be something fragrant, and people can smell it. What are the conversations about when we are with our brothers and sisters? Is it gossiping, bad-mouthing, or backbiting? Paul says, no more corrupting talk because it impedes the spiritual growth of our fellow brothers and sisters, and it grieves the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. All these corrupting talks upsets the Holy Spirit because it may stumble the person we are talking to, causing the person to dislike another person and draw our distance from the person. This eventually is hurting the body of Christ, which is why Paul says it grieves the Holy Spirit. Instead, our speech should only add edification and build each other up. The moment we are building each other out, we are also building the whole body of Christ. How to live a new life? Paul commands us to abandon the pattern in our old life, the old pattern that we used to relate with one another. Instead, to put on what is new according to our new identity in Christ, to think and model what Christ has done for us. What Christ has done for us? Christ has forgiven us. Therefore, we can model his forgiveness to forgive the person who caused us hurt and anger. Christ has freely given himself to us. Therefore, we can model his love and share what we have with others. Christ speaks tenderly and lovingly to us. Therefore, we can model him and speak kindly and lovingly to our brothers and sisters. Finally, I would like to point us back to verse 25. which I have not mentioned earlier, Paul went on to give some instruction on how we should live a new life. Over there is the only verse, the entire passage Paul introduced the reason before he tells us how to live a new life. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The reason we are to speak the truth is because we are members of one another. In the original word, members refers to members of a body. Certainly, it connects to the idea of members of the body of Christ. If we merely say members of an organization, it may not necessarily mean having a relationship with other members. But when we are members of the body, it means we have a close-knit relationship with Christ and with one another. Many years ago, when I was still a student, I didn't really understand what it really means when we call church members as our brothers and sisters. There was one day I needed to move out of my hostel and change to another room, and I bumped into my CG leader. When he saw me moving stuff alone, he questioned why I didn't inform him for help. I told him I thought I could handle it and I didn't want to trouble him. He asked me, "Yiling, would you say you don't want to trouble your family member if you need help?" I've carried this comment of his with me for many years now, as it has helped me to understand the members of the body are as close as the members of the family. Since we are family to one another, whether we are living a new life or continuing with our old life is no longer a business of our own. It matters to one another. It's as such that when we see our brother and sister who are not living out Christ, we cannot pretend there's nothing happened. Instead, we have to put off the falsehood, that is the surface level talk, but be genuine and speak in truth and in love to build up. Because if one part of the body of Christ is affected, the whole body cannot grow into the fullness of Christ. In conclusion, our new identity in Christ calls us to live our old life and to live a new life that is Christ-likeness, righteous and holy. The power of the Holy Spirit will continue to remind us what Christ has done for us so that we will be renewed and live a life that builds the body of Christ. So let us go out today with the help of God, and let us never be the same. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are sorry, Lord. Many of the times we have forgotten that we were once sinners. Lord, help us that our mind will be renewed, our heart will be renewed, and our actions will be renewed. May you continue to convict us, to speak to us, help us to model after you, the way that you treat us, the way that you love us, and the way how you have forgiven us. Lord, we look forward to you, we look forward to our new life, and Lord, we ask that you will continue to walk with us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Yiling. Let us sing this next song, even as we reflect on the message to be renewed and to live this new life in Christ. Will you stand with me as we sing this song? Let me be as gold.
precious silver, purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold. Refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be
Lord, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.